Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back, second half of the show on President's Day. It's been busy. We've had Dale Brown on, Pete Thamel, Mike Rodeck, a number of other guests. We still have more to come. We appreciate you being here. Tomorrow we'll talk a little about how the game, football game, could be shortened in the future. It's a new proposal that is making the rounds, and we will deal with it tomorrow. How about Quentin joining us next from Georgia? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Hey, big prayers go up to Jim, man, whatever you're dealing with. I hate to see anybody with any ailments, but I know we all go through what we go through. But praying for you, Jim. But let me ask you something, Paul. How you feel about a grown man naming himself? How do you feel about that?
I'm guessing you're talking about the artist known as Legend.
Exactly. a self-named artist. But my biggest gripe with him is why is he so scared of the Georgia football program? Like, what's his problem with Georgia? Like, he's got his own team. Every time he calls in, it's Georgia this, Georgia that. Bobo this, Bobo that. Whining like a little girl. Like, what's his problem?
Well, I don't know. He does talk about Georgia in a disparaging manner, but I think that's just his. Alabama hasn't been challenged by many people during the Saban run. Quite frankly, Clemson is the only legitimate rival. I mean, everybody talks about the Ole Miss wins under Hugh Freeze, but in the end, did those wins really play a big factor in the outcome of the season? No, they didn't. Alabama in 14 made the playoffs, and in 15 won the national championship.
Bottom line, the last time these two teams were on the field, Alabama got body slammed. Game over. And as soon as he gets this through his head, that those championship defenses that carried Alabama to all those rings on the Saban, the orchestrator of those defenses reside in Georgia now. So that's the end of it. You can hang it up. Stop calling and whining like a crybaby, man. You're a grown-ass man.
Well, Q, I eagerly wait for Legend to respond to that. Thank you very much. Snake is up next. Hey, Snake.
Hey, Paul. Hey.
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, first of all, my wishes goes out to Jim for a full recovery on his helmet. And my prayers goes out to the Cat Daddy family that we don't know.
Yeah. I didn't mean to disparage the Cat Daddy that died. I was just saying we don't know him.
But the Cat Daddy that lived
is still around.
Before I get to my main reason I called, I wanted to ask you, I just been sitting here studying, going to my 50th class reunion, and I know we're the same age. Are y'all having one?
Eventually. I have not been. I've never been to a class reunion, so I'm hoping somebody invites me. I may have to show up. So when is yours?
It's in April.
Okay. Well, if invited, I will attend.
At a bar. We usually have it at a nice hotel place or something, but we're having it at a local bar this time.
Snake, do you know I have never been back inside my high school since the day I walked out. Not that I was escorted out or anything. I just have never been back. So there's always a first time. So tell me about the bar.
It's a sports bar.
Okay.
I graduated.
I mean, don't most high school reunions like take place either at the high school or at a local community center? Where I've never heard of one at a bar.
Yeah. I don't know who came up with this. It don't.
Hey, by the way, Snake, what city is this bar going to be in? Where are you having it?
It's going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fortendale.
Okay. You know what? I may not go to my high school reunion, but I may drop by yours. I know where yours is.
I tell you what, I'll get you some wings.
Okay. Well, I may. So just make sure you tell me a couple of days out and. I've been to Fultondale. I know the way. It's north of town, and I will. I may just do a drop-in on your high school reunion. That way, I don't have to go to mine. Joe is up next in Alabama. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul. I was just wanting to compliment you on Dale Brown's interview. That was an excellent interview.
Thank you.
It brought back memories to me. And talking about Pete Maravich and 53 years ago, that he broke the record at the Coleman Coliseum with 69 points.
He sure did.
It'd never been broken before. And I had my five-year-old son there. He always mentions that, that he never forgot that. That was really
what a memory for a young kid to see.
I really
to
enjoyed
see that.
About Dale Brown, that was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Dale Brown was with us an hour or two ago, and truly somebody that, I mean, he has been given the recognition, but he is truly one of the seminal figures in the history of the SEC. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that very, very much. And Bubba is up next in Alabama.
Hey, Paul, I want to thank you for letting me ask for prayers for my mother-in-law last week. Thank you very much.
Well, we hope, and, we appreciate you mentioning that.
All right. She came out of her 3 days sleep, and the family's getting to say goodbye to her, so everything's
okay.
Fine.
Well,
the other thing I want to say is in 78, Bear Bryant was worried because they had to start freshmen. Jim Bob Harris and Tommy Wilcox, but they did all right.
They sure did.
I'm wondering if you think that we have to start a lot of freshmen this year. Do you think lightning can strike twice?
Well, let me go back to 78. And I was not in Alabama at the time, but I do remember that team. So was that Stedman Shealy? Was he the quarterback in 78?
Jeff Rutledge.
Oh, Jeff was still the quarterback in 78.
Yeah, he was quarterback in 78.
So, I mean, you had a Jeff was a senior, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a senior.
Well, I mean, you're trying to do a comparison. But I'd have to say, yeah, there'll be plenty of freshmen. I mean, you've got Caleb Downs. You've got countless freshmen that are going to play and will need to play. But you need to tell me who your quarterback's going to be.
I know. I hope it's Ty Simpson. If that's the case, that's another freshman.
And that 78 team, if I remember, let's see, that's the one that lost to Southern Cal.
Southern Cal.
Didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 28-14, yeah.
Right.
But beat Penn State.
Yeah, beat Penn State
center.
In a 1-2 Sugar Bowl. Bubba, I'd have to think about that comparison because you may have some freshmen playing. You also have a young man playing a quarterback who doesn't have much experience. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's continue. And Bill is in Virginia. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are all great. Thank you.
Hey, don't want to cause no problem here, but the guy Quentin who just called from Georgia.
Yeah.
Alabama didn't get body slammed in that championship game. And he needs to remember the last time that Georgia got beat, Alabama beat them. And I know everybody said this, and I know you're going to laugh at me, but – had they not lost those receivers, that could have been a different national championship game. I just want him to, you know, calm down a little bit.
Well, listen, I understand that, and we all were there, and we remember it well. What did that game mean? That game got Alabama into the national playoff. Without that win, Alabama was going to go home. So it was important. I don't want to say it wasn't. How important it was to Georgia is debatable because Georgia was going to go to the playoffs and be the number one seed regardless. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And let's continue. Peyton is up next. Hey, Peyton.
Hey.
What's going on with you?
I just wanted to know, what are your thoughts on Tennessee next season without Hendon Hooker?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned. I mean, Brew McCoy needs to step up. Obviously, Hooker and Hyatt gone is a big deal, but if Joe Milton looks as good in the regular season as he did in the playoffs, then I think Tennessee will be in pretty good shape. I think it would be hard to replicate this past season, though. What do you think, Peyton?
I would say yes, because I think just because all the wide receiver talent we lost, and not just that, that was one of the best quarterbacks that Tennessee's had. And also, I was going to say, what do you think the Nico situation is going to be in 2024?
Yeah, he's the million-dollar quarterback, the many-million-dollar. I don't know. I think everybody's pretty upbeat, optimistic. You know, could he play? But I'm reluctant to go much deeper than that in terms of a meaningful opinion. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's take a break. We are rolling along here on a Monday afternoon, and we'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we were here a couple of minutes ago. Quentin had some very strong things to say, and then some guy clapped back at him. So in fairness of the show, we are going to hit Quentin again to respond. Go ahead, Quentin.
You got it, a clap back, Paul. Bill clap back, huh?
You got it.
Bill, I don't know you, Bill. I don't know you, brother, but I got to put you in the same class. You calling, complaining, and whining. If such and such wouldn't have got hurt, we would have won. Man, it's over with. It's over with. Seriously. And stop worrying about Bobo. Worry about y'all unproven OC. We still don't know what he's about, what he's going to do. Bobo's got a little credibility, don't you think?
Quentin, I'm glad you said that, because I've never heard more criticism of a guy who has a long track record versus somebody who will be coaching his first game in the SEC.
It just tells me that they're scared. They know what time it is. They know what time it is. They're scared. It's like you always say, you said, Saban's window is closing. I say it's shut. It's shut and bolted, locked, everything thrown in the bottom of the damn river. Game over.
You know, Quentin, agree with you or not, the one thing I do like about you, you're absolute. You don't equivocate. You just spit it out. It's over for Saban, according to Q from Georgia. Any reaction to that? Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Pablo.
Hello. Muy bien.
How you doing today, boss?
We're doing great. Thank you.
the usual homilies, you know, been listening to you for a long time, enjoyed your show.
Thank you.
Used to even read some of your stuff from the Birmingham newspaper.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, there's a lot of people calling into your show. Some are knowledgeable. Some are just, you know, bluster, I would say. But, you know, everything's going pretty good right now. Saban's going to be here for a while. I admit that. Kirby's doing excellent, you know. But we got to realize that Kirby's an acorn off the tree. Would you say so?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's obvious. You know, he coached under Nick Saban for, you know, at LSU in Miami, and obviously all those years at Alabama. Now, he is the son of a coach, but but he's best known for being Nick Saban's right-hand man.
Exactly, and he deserves everything he has got so far. I mean, I agree with that. And, you know, like I said, you know, Nick's the man. He's going to give us another, I think, 4 or 5 years, hopefully, you know. He's still top in recruiting. He still knows how to coach. He still knows how to talk to those young guys. So I think we're going to be okay.
Well Johnny, let me ask you this. I mean, if you took Kirby Smart out of the equation, this conversation wouldn't be going on. This isn't really about Nick Saban. It's about Kirby Smart.
Well, you know, like I said, well, I got to come back. Kirby's a good guy. Loved him when he played at Georgia. You know, I'm a fan. As a matter of fact, I can probably honestly say some of my earliest childhood memories is my father screaming at the radio on Saturdays.
Well, Johnny, thank you for sharing that with us. We really appreciate very much. Dennis is up next in Cincinnati. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Listen, I'm a Kentucky Wildcat fan, football, and I watch them every year, and they start off like 6-0, 5-0, and for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years anyway. And then they just hit something, and they just lose and lose and lose. What can they do to get over that hump and be up there with Georgia and Alabama and LSU?
Dennis, I think it's a fair point, and I mean, no one's received more praise from this show than Mark Stoops, but it has happened a couple of times, and yeah, I think we give him a lot of credit for building that program, for the school being patient with him, but I mean, the way last season ended was pretty sad, and I know it feels like he's corrected some of the problems. He's got the OC back that he needs. He picked up a really good quarterback in the portal that I think is going to help him on a level that Will Levis. But ultimately, what his problems are different than a Saban or a Kirby Smart. He doesn't have the depth. And I don't know if he's ever going to be able to stockpile players like those schools do. Kentucky has come a long way, but it's still not in the same league. And can it ever get there, I think, is the real question. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. And Susie is in Georgia. Hey, Susie. Susie, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
Thank you. We're doing great.
Yeah, good Monday afternoon. I hope you had a good weekend, Paul.
We did. Thank you.
Good. Two things. One, the Dale Brown interview, I really, really like it. You know me, I've told you several times, your interviews, the people you're interviewing sometimes really hit a spot. And his talking about his mother and all that she did for him, wow. You know, that's what we moms do. But that was very heartfelt, and I really want to put on DVR to watch the hoops tonight, the SEC hoops tonight, because I'll be asleep while it's on. But so thank you for bringing, you know, that. Also, I want to say to Jim, you know, wish you well, and I will certainly put him in my prayers. And, Paul, I hope all your viewers listening and that are putting President Carter in their thoughts and prayers. I think right now, as we look back on, he's quite a man for the people. And I'm not talking president. I'm talking for humanity, what he's done for Habitat.
No, you're right, Susie. And he's obviously at 99 and in hospice.
Yeah.
His greatest contribution to this country really came after his presidency. And I mean, he was a terrible president, but he was a brilliant example for humanity in the many years that followed that. And I don't know if any former president has ever done what he has. In fact, no former president has ever done what Jimmy Carter did.
No. And his wife, too, Rosin, I got to see her speak in Atlanta once on mental health, and she had written a book. And it's quite a family. And so I just wanted to add that. I'm glad you had a good weekend.
Well, I had
a great weekend with my God family, and got to see some good 14U baseball.
Well, that's fantastic, Susie. Well, thank you for mentioning that, and you be well. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Irvin is in Georgia. Hello, Irvin. You're on the air.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Oh, I enjoyed your show today. Once again, my prayer, thoughts and prayers are with Jimmy Carter family. I really do enjoy what he has done for humanity. But on a good note, I agree with Quentin, with Q. Alabama fan needs to stop bellyaching. It's our time. Time to shut up.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know, in the run of Nick Saban, we've heard anything quite like what we're hearing tonight. Q called in, and we just heard from Irwin, essentially just telling Bama fans to shut their pie hole, that it's over for Nick Saban. That's what they're saying. I'm just a messenger here. We will take a short break. We have a lot more to do in the final 90 minutes on this Monday, President's Day. We'll talk to someone who has been a leading columnist and talk show host for many, many years and one of the great opinions in this part of the country. Matt Hayes joins us next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and let's talk about Matt Hayes' latest concerning Lane Kiffin. College football's transfer portal king. Where have I heard that before? Lane Kiffin has not won a division yet. That's understandable, considering which division he's in. But he has won the postseason awards. Matt, great to have you back with us. How does he keep doing this, especially considering he doesn't have the type of NIL infrastructure that other schools in the SEC have?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. Paul, honestly, that's kind of what I tried to highlight is that, you know, it's kind of this joke that he's the portal king, and you know he kind of plays it up in social media. But the reality is, he's, and this is not unlike a lot of coaches, he's working his butt off because, you know, he doesn't have the built-in advantages where he just gets another class high school recruiting class, elite class that is, year after year, like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, LSU, you know, those schools that can just reload with high schools, he's literally got to figure out how to do it through the portal. And it's difficult. And he's a head coach. He's a GM. He's a personnel guy. And there's a lot to go on. You know, you've got to find unique ways to game the system. And I thought one of the more intriguing things that he said was, you know, if you can get a guy that teams are now starting to come after the elite freshman players because they know once they move and they use that one free year of eligibility, you at the very least have them for 2 years locked in. So now this is the way coaches are looking at this, Paul. You know, his point was Quinshon Judkins, who was, you know, one of the best players in the league last year, the freshman running back at Ole Miss, was one of the most sought-after players in the college football in the offseason because everybody knew if they signed him, if he transferred and they signed him, they had him for at least 2 years. And that's kind of the part and parcel with what's going on with the way, you know, not only NIL, but the free player movement has basically, again, turned it into a de facto free agency. So a lot of coaches are going through it. I think it's more difficult, though, Paul, for the coaches that are A, in the SEC that don't have that elite history of recruiting, and B, that just don't have, like you said, the NIL funds behind them.
Matt Hayes with us, who never shy about an opinion. And, Matt, I wanted to talk about something you said a couple of days ago. And for some reason, it has become one of the biggest topics here on this program. I'm sure it's been talked about a lot on your program down in Florida. But there are some national columnists and Alabama fans who think that everything has changed, everything has turned. Nick Saban has finally gotten back the upper hand on Kirby Smart because of the Mike Bobo hire. He hired Tommy Reese, a coach that a lot of people are still shaking their heads about in terms of the OC. You covered Mike Bobo as a player, as a coach. You know, tell the audience your thoughts on whether the theory that Kirby Smart has finally stubbed his toe is either right or wrong. I know which one it's going to be, though.
So I'm going to give you some names here, okay? DJ Shockley, David Green, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Murray, all of those quarterbacks at Georgia, they all set passing records at Georgia. The offense is all set, scoring, total yards, all those records at Georgia, okay? So now you're going to tell me that Kirby is going to hire a guy who did this at Georgia the last time he was the OC at Georgia with better players now, with a better defense now, with a better structure around him now. All of a sudden, he's going to fail? That's number one. Number two, do you really think Kirby Smart, who's at the top of the game right now, is all of a sudden suddenly going to go, yeah, I'm going to hire my best friend, help him out a little bit, give him a job? Kirby's not doing that. Like the number one thing to Kirby is winning, really to the detriment of his home life even. You know, he is obsessive about it. So there's no way he's just going to say, yeah, I'm gonna go with Bobo because he's my boy. You know, we used to be roommates in college. No, I think it's a terrific hire. I think he's a proven track record in the SEC about coaching quarterbacks, developing offenses. Yes, it was bad at Colorado State. And yes, that's on him, Paul. He chose that job that was a long way away from his comfort zone in the South. It was hard to recruit there, and he didn't win. You know, and then he got into two really tough situations where, you know, he got to South Carolina, and he and Will Muschamp basically knew it was win or walk that season. Didn't work. Then he gets into a situation at Auburn where Brian Harsin was basically fired before he was hired. So I think people are seeing those two last situations fall and thinking this is a bad move for Kirby Smart. And the reality is I think it's a terrific hire for Kirby.
I mean, I agree, Matt. He's had three bad jobs in a row, which you know, I think is part of the stigma here. But back to Alabama for a second, and I mean, there's a lot of pro and con on Tommy Reese. But why do you think? I realize I know what your opinion is, but why do you think others see this as an opening based on the fact that Nick Saban has now lost Bill O'Brien, Sark, Lane Kiffin, Brian Daboll? He's lost some major talent, and nobody is certain he has it now in Tommy Reese.
Here's the strange thing for me, Paul, okay, is it wasn't Bill O'Brien's offense that lost the Alabama and LSU games. It was that defense.
Correct.
It was Nick's precious defense. That's what lost those two games. And I always hear, you know, Alabama fans jump on Bill O'Brien like Bill O'Brien didn't know what he was doing. Well, he knew enough to develop a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, didn't he? He knew enough to develop offenses that were going to win big games and to be to be honest, if Jameson Williams isn't hurt and Metchie isn't hurt late last season, two seasons ago, they could win it all. So I think it's more about I'm in the same boat in this one as well, too, Paul. I don't think Nick has made a bad move as far as hiring offensive coordinators yet. Maybe you could call Major Applewhite the first one a poor decision, but I don't think he's made one yet. And at this point, you've got to give him track record. You've got to give him benefit of the doubt with Tommy Rees. Tommy Rees has done some good things at Notre Dame, but it's certainly an odd out-of-the-box hire. There's no doubt about that.
And bring in Kevin Steele, obviously, is business as usual because it is Nick Saban's defense. Let me get to another point you made recently. There's been so much hullabaloo here about Texas and Oklahoma. Now that we know when they're coming, your thoughts on what that really means once they get here in a couple of months or maybe a year and a half?
I mean, great brands. There's no doubt about that, Paul. Great brands. TV loves them. There'll be fun games. There'll be fun games early on the first couple of years when you see, Alabama playing Norman or Texas playing games. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, in a year or 2 years, if they're still the same teams that are winning 8-9 games. Now, Oklahoma, again, has had just 1 year of a drop-off since Lincoln Riley left. But if it doesn't turn back under Brent Venables and in a year or two starts moving into this thing and they're still the same teams, I mean, what do you have? You just have good brands. You have basically Florida and Texas A&M is what you have. They're great brands, but they're not winning games of significance. They're not winning SEC championships. Now, they'll probably get to the playoff one or two, or maybe both of them. My guess would be once the 12-team playoff rolls around, you're going to get at least three or four SEC teams in there. But, you know, what do you have, I guess, is my question. And it's going to be more difficult for them to win in this league. Like, you know, they won in the Big 12 prior. Now they're going into a conference where, man, you better strap it up week after week. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they assimilate to the league and how after a couple of years, are they just more just like any other team?
Finally, Matt, we ask you this every time because I'm assuming the answer is everything's okay right now because Florida hasn't played a game in, I think, since December. But is Gator Nation calming down a little bit as Billy Napier's second season is on its way?
You know what I think it is, Paul, as much as anything? I think they refuse to panic because if they panic, if they get over the moon panic, then there's like it's almost like there's no coming back from that. You know what I mean? So I think it's one of these in Billy we trust. And believe me, right now in the off season, if it stays this way at the quarterback spot at Florida, you gotta trust him because if you're looking at this thing from the outside in and you see Graham Mertz as the guy they got from the portal, it's certainly where you start to shake your head a little bit and say, wait, Graham Mertz, I watched him play for 3 years at Wisconsin. I know who and what he is. You know, you have the Western Kentucky quarterback who wanted to go to games, so they didn't want to sign him. You know, they had a deal they thought with Pratt, the Tulane quarterback. It blew up at the 11th hour. He decided to stay at Tulane. So I understand that teams miss, but they need to get another quarterback in the spring portal. And I'm just not sure who's there at this point either, Paul.
So, Matt, we put the schedule up. Let me hold it there for a second. At Utah, Tennessee at home, at Kentucky, at South Carolina,
yeah,
obviously Georgia, Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, at Florida State. I mean, I am – help me out here. You're down there. I'm not seeing an abundance of wins on this schedule, are you?
I'm not either, Paul. Again, unless this team takes a significant jump in year two, you know, or unless he's freshman, he's got a pretty good freshman class coming in. I mean, you look at the transfer portal guys they got, and there might be one or two guys of significance, maybe a couple D linemen, but I don't see it. I'm with you. I see six wins, maybe seven wins, and I you know, that's back-to-back six or seven win seasons. Yeah, it's not going to play well. It certainly will not play well.
And by the way, Matt, I found seven wins, too, but that's not what I would bet on with my own money.
No way. No, I take the under on that all day long, Paul. No.
So let's say he comes in at 6-6 or 7-5, and I realize I'm jumping way ahead, and it could be worse.
Too much money. It's way too much money.
I mean, are fans going to say, okay, Scott Strickland, you made a good decision, we're behind you all the way?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a vocal minority who will probably say, spend the $30 million to get rid of them, but they're not going to do that. It's the buyout is way too much money. They are all in on him. They're all in. And the hope is, like I said earlier, Paul, I don't think Florida fans want to panic right now, because if they panic, then there's no coming back from panicking. You know what I mean? So I think they're just hoping that it turns a little bit this year. And then the following year, when that five-star quarterback comes in from Texas, DJ Lagway,
okay,
then they think, okay, now it's going to turn.
Matt, you always hear the phrase, I mean, our parents and grandparents, I never thought I'd live long enough. I never thought I'd live long enough to hear somebody like you who's seen it all, talk about, maybe in year three, Florida can get over the hump with a coach.
Hey, I mean, this is crazy. I'm with you. It's amazing how far now it's this program that was once the elite of the SEC and among the nation's elite, they're settling. It's like they're settling for mediocrity. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. But all I'm saying is you are invested. You've invested a lot of money, a lot of facility, a lot of support in this coach. They're not going to walk away from him. I agree with you. It doesn't look good early. But, again, we're only 1 year into it.
No, listen, I'm aware. I mean, Texas A&M with a far bigger paycheck is much farther along. But listen, we'll continue this conversation. Wish I had a talk show in Jacksonville. I could find a subject every day of the week, Matt. Thank you for being here.
Every day, Paul. All right, Paul.
Great to have you. Matt Hayes joining us from Jacksonville. We'll take a break. We've had some amazing guests already here, including Dale Brown. We'll take a breather. Your phone call's around the corner.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. We head to the final hour here in a moment. Dustin wraps up hour number three for us on a Monday. Hey, Dustin.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, sir?
Quite well, thank you.
Hey, I want to start by saying a very sincere best wishes to Jim. I heard his call to start the show. I hope he's well. Also, if you have time for it, I'll make it as brief as I can. I've got a story for Iman. You guys were talking music, and you mentioned Bob Dylan at the top of the show. I've actually got a Leon Russell and Bob Dylan story if we've got a quick minute for it.
Sure.
So Leon is, kind of helped found the Tulsa Sound and was a big part of that. He had the recording studio here in Tulsa, but he also had a lake house up on Grand Lake, which happens to now be owned by a friend of mine. It's got the old original recording studio up there and everything. Anyway, this story got handed down from Leon himself. In the 70s, Dylan had been dragging an Airstream around the South toward the end of summer, and he drove out to visit Leon at the lake and wanted to leave the Airstream and just fly back to California. But the guy that kind of ran the grounds for Leon up there was a little bit lazy, and he did not keep the boats full of fuel. Well, Bob Dylan wanted to go out on the water. So what they had to do was Leon and he got in the car and went into town with a fuel can to get enough fuel to get out to one of the marinas. Now, while Leon's inside paying for the fuel and talking to the gentleman behind the counter, he sees this older woman on a cane hobble right up to Bob Dylan. And the entire interaction was done by the time he got out there. But when he finally got out, Leon said, "Hey, man, what was up with that lady? She was poking you in the chest and really giving you what for." And Dylan said, "Yeah, she walks up to me and she asked me if I knew whose car I was leaning on. And I said, 'Yes, ma'am, it belongs to Leon Russell.' And she looked at me and she said, 'Did you know that he's famous?' And of course, this is Bob Dylan. And he goes, 'Yes, ma'am, I know he's famous.' She said, he's a big rock star. He lives around here, and we all know him." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I was aware of that, too." And finally, she looks at Dylan square in the eyes, and she said, "Well, son, what do you do?" He says, "Well, I play."
And Bob said, "I'm up on the tight wire."
Yeah, he says, "I'm up on tightrope." So he said, well, ma'am, I play a little bit of music too. And she said, well, what's your name? He pushed his cowboy hat back and he leaned forward to put out his hand. And he said, ma'am, it's very nice to meet you. My name's Bob Dylan. And she wouldn't shake his hand. She looked back at him for the longest time and she said, Bob Dylan. And he said, yes, ma'am, I'm Bob Dylan. She goes, well, I've never heard of you.
But I have heard of Robert Zimmerman. Anyway, we're up against the break. Coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.